The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So tonight I'd like to talk about the process of reactivity and how we can begin to understand it and penetrate the structure, essentially, of reactivity. I'm going to do this by starting from the outside and working in. So some weeks ago I was talking about the process of suffering, of dukkha, the Pali term dukkha. And I talked about different ways that we suffer. And I'll just review those briefly because there's an intimate connection between reactivity and suffering. So we suffer because there's painful experience in the body or the mind, that there's actually unpleasant phenomenon happening in our body and our mind. And we suffer over that. We tend to think that the unpleasantness itself is the suffering, but it's actually a reaction to the unpleasantness. That's the suffering. The suffering of this kind of experience is we have some physical or mental experience. And we don't want it. We don't like it. We want to get rid of it. And so there's this reactivity around it. And it's actually this reactivity that is the suffering. So imagine, if you could, just kind of play a little mental game in your mind, if that you might have some mental or physical pain and be completely non-reactive to it. If you can just imagine the possibility of not being reactive to your mental or physical pain, would it be a problem? It wouldn't. If we were not reacting to it, almost by definition, it wouldn't be a problem. It's not that the pain itself or the unpleasant phenomenon would go away, but it would stop being a problem. So this physical and mental difficulty that we have creates this kind of suffering through reactivity. And then we have a kind of suffering that happens when we hold on to something that's pleasant, when we have something that's pleasant in our life and we want it to continue. And in this case, the suffering comes in a couple of different ways. It can come in because we're afraid of losing that thing, that there's kind of this holding to it and there's a fear around the loss. And so that brings in an element of dissatisfaction, of discomfort when that fear is in place. And that fear is a kind of a reactivity to that experience. Or, if we're holding on to something pleasant, we might suffer when it, as it naturally will end, when it ends, we may experience a sense of loss or disappointment or frustration or betrayal, something along those lines. And again, it's not inherent in the ending of that phenomenon that those experiences arise. It's something in our minds that is reacting to the ending. So again, this reactivity comes into play in this way that we suffer also. Or we feel disconnected, bored, depressed. And this may be a kind of a reactivity to not much is happening. There's just not much going on, and there's this response or this rebounding. I want something to be happening. So again, boredom, depression can be a kind of reactivity to our experience. So the physical pain, as I said a few minutes ago, that physical pain or mental pain is not what I mean when I talk about the suffering. It's this reactivity that is the suffering. And then there's the mental suffering, the mental unpleasant experience that we have. And again, imagine the possibility of being non-reactive to experiences, events, and situations in our lives. So for example, a simple one, a mild one, imagine being non-reactive when somebody cuts you off on the freeway. You know, if you could imagine that possibility. It wouldn't be a problem if somebody was cutting you off if you were just simply willing and ready to back off at that moment. If there was no reactivity to that action, it wouldn't be a problem. Perhaps a little bit more difficult to imagine. See if you can imagine non-reactivity when you lose a job. Or if a partner dies of a terminal illness. Reflecting on those, we might start to see that we actually might cling to our reactivity. Because while I think most of us would be happy to let go of the reactivity of somebody cutting us off on the freeway, or a sense of anger and frustration when the washing machine dies, we're not so ready to let go of the reactivity around losing a job or losing a partner. We kind of feel in a way that our reactivity to those things, our feeling of devastation, of loss, of anger, of depression, that's what makes us human. And it proves that we care that we react in those situations. So this is actually what we tend to believe about reactivity. So I'd like to propose that there is a possibility of being responsive rather than reactive. That in those situations, in those deep, difficult situations, that actually a more human response would be out of compassion and love, rather than out of anger or greed. So that there is this possibility, if you could imagine instead, think now maybe perhaps with those ideas of compassion, love, equanimity as being possible ways to meet a difficult situation. Again, imagine a situation where a partner dies. And rather than being reactive to that, responding instead out of compassion for yourself, for others, responding out of balance of mind, rather than out of greed, aversion, or delusion. So these three, greed, aversion, and delusion, are the first kind of layer of the roots of reactivity. It's kind of the outermost layer of this process of reactivity. And they lead us to many reactive emotions. They lead us into anger, frustration, irritation, depression, hostility, annoyance, irritation, excitement, pride, vanity, boredom, anxiety, worry. All of these difficult emotions are reactions to experience and are springing out of greed, aversion, and delusion. And those in turn, greed, aversion, and delusion, in turn are layered on top of a liking and not liking of experience. That when we like something, we tend to want to have it and keep it. When we don't like something, we tend to want to get rid of it, push it away. Or we may just not be connecting or misunderstanding experience. So the greed, aversion, and delusion, the outermost layer is really the emotional reactivity that we have, all those difficult emotions. And under those are greed, aversion, and delusion. And under greed, aversion, and delusion is this movement of liking and not liking, or not connecting. And under those, in turn, those arise from whether our experience is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So this is really the kind of inner structure of reactivity. This movement of the mind around whether something is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And so this is a lot of where I want to explore tonight, to explore this terrain of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral, and how out of that all of these reactions grow. So we've kind of come into the structure of reactivity from the outside down to pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral, and now we're going to look at it from the inside out. See if we can understand or learn something about how the reactivity grows from this. So this quality of something being pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, it's an aspect of every single moment of our experience. Everything that we see, smell, hear, taste, touch, think, feel, everything has one of these three flavors to it. We experience somebody touching us on the skin, and that may be pleasant or unpleasant. We experience a specific kind of music that may be pleasant or unpleasant to us. Tastes. Sounds, smells, tastes, even thoughts, even moods, even emotions, they all have this quality of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So for instance, anger is generally unpleasant. Happiness is generally pleasant. So everything that we experience has this quality, and I'll call this the feeling tone of our experience. So this feeling tone it's understood in Buddhist psychology to be a mental phenomenon that we experience when we experience a feeling, that it's a process that happens in our mind, that these feelings come as a result of a process that happens in our mind. Now, the feelings of mental experiences like anger or like happiness being a mental experience, that anger feels unpleasant, happiness feels pleasant, most of us can understand that kind of experience being a mental experience, that the pleasantness of happiness would naturally be a mental pleasantness. It's a little harder to understand that also it's considered in Buddhist psychology that our physical senses, that the touch sense in particular, having pleasant, unpleasant quality to it, that is also a mental experience, not a physical one. So I'm going to give you an example, another thought experiment to have you perhaps begin to understand how this experience of pleasant, and unpleasant in terms of the touch sensation might be considered a mental experience rather than a physical one. So imagine that you are standing on a street corner, a busy street corner. A lot of people walking around. It's in the city somewhere. And you're waiting for a friend to meet you. So you're just standing there waiting, and there's all these people walking around you. And you feel somebody come up and gently touch you on the shoulder. Since you're waiting for your friend, that experience of that contact of your friend touching your shoulder might be experienced as pleasant. And now imagine that you're standing on that same busy street corner, waiting for the light to change, not expecting a friend, and you feel somebody touching you on the shoulder. That might be experienced as unpleasant because you're not expecting. The context of the situation is different. You're not expecting anyone to be touching you. So this may give you some sense of how it's the same pressure on the shoulder, same place, but a different context, a different mental climate in your mind, because you're expecting or not expecting to be meeting somebody. It changes the experience of the feeling. So that's kind of a way that you might be able to understand how this is seen to be a mental phenomenon. So everything having this feeling tone. In one sutta, in one of the Buddhist texts, there's a line that I like. It says, all things converge on feeling. And this to me really points to the kind of feeling being this place of reactivity being the springboard, of feeling being the springboard of for reactivity. We think that perhaps we like something, we like blue, or we don't like the smell of hot roofing tar. That we think that we're reacting or responding to the things out there, the blue or the hot roofing tar. But actually, in the understanding from Buddhist psychology, what we are reacting to is that some of us find blue pleasant, and some of us find the smell of hot roofing tar unpleasant. And that it is this place of pleasant, unpleasant where we react from. It's not actually from the blue or the hot roofing tar. So there's a way that this the process of reactivity is born from that simple experience of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And the Buddha described this very clearly, actually. He said that, you know, we have this body and mind. We just have this body and mind, and we have the senses that are in this body and mind. And because we have these senses in this body and mind, we experience contact from stimuli. So we are just continually impinged by experience. And every one of those impingements, every contact that our sense base has with something from the world, has this feeling tone. It's pleasant, it's unpleasant, it's neutral. And the fact that it's pleasant or unpleasant or neutral tends to lead us to a craving. When it's pleasant, we like it. We want it. When it's unpleasant, we don't like it. We want to get rid of it. So we move from the pleasant, unpleasant to wanting to do something with the pleasant and unpleasant, wanting to hold on or get rid of experience. And we move into the sense of, I have to do something about this. I have to hold on to this thing or get rid of this thing. So this process of reactivity starts from this very simple thing of pleasant, unpleasant. And in a very kind of natural way, actually, it's a very not only human way, but just form of life way that we move towards things that are pleasant and away from things that are unpleasant. Even a single-celled amoeba is going to move towards food and away from noxious chemicals. So it's kind of a very natural response that we do this. It's a very natural kind of piece of our biology that we have this inclination to move towards pleasant and away from unpleasant. And our habitual way of responding, this habitual way of doing this, of moving towards pleasant, away from unpleasant, is what leads us towards this reactivity. It leads us towards the reactivity. So it's a habitual response. It's very well ingrained. We've been practicing it for years to manipulate our environment to have the things we like and get rid of the things we don't like. And we've gotten a lot of good feedback from this. It's created an environment that feels more comfortable for a very short time. And it either results perhaps in this, if we've constructed our environment in this way that feels comfortable, then when that environment falls apart, we may suffer because we didn't want it to fall apart, or we may fear that it will fall apart. Or perhaps we're in a situation that is unpleasant and we can't figure out how to get rid of these things. So we're suffering because we're in this unpleasant experience and we can't do anything about it. We're reacting to it. We feel like we're wrong or we're bad somehow because we can't fix things. So it's our habitual response to this feeling that leads us into this reactivity and leads us into our tendency to suffer. And this habitual response can be changed because it is learned. It is not innate. That's something that's maybe a little hard for us to believe. But this movement to hold on to things that we like and get rid of things that we don't like is actually a learned response. It's very deeply learned. It's like learned through millions of years of our biology and chemistry and psychology and sociology. But it is a learned response. It is not hardwired. So it is possible to change our response to this experience of pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. It's possible to just experience the pleasant and not react to it. It's possible to experience the pleasant and like something and not feel like we have to do anything to keep it or hold it. It's possible to experience something unpleasant and not like it and also not feel like it's a problem that it's there. And it is also possible to experience something pleasant. And it's just pleasant. We neither like it or don't like it. It's just an experience. So in terms of unlearning our habitual response, mindfulness is the key. Mindfulness is really the key to unhooking the movement from pleasant to liking to wanting, unhooking the movement from unpleasant to not liking to not wanting. And the Buddha gave some very simple instructions about this practice. He basically said that when you experience a feeling, When a meditator experiences a pleasant feeling, she knows she's experiencing a pleasant feeling. When a meditator experiences an unpleasant feeling, he knows he's experiencing an unpleasant feeling. That's the instruction. It's very simple, but it's not so easy to do. So now I'd like to give a little exercise, a little bit of a guided meditation to explore a little bit of this feeling tone. To give you a sense of this in your experience. So in this practice, we'll just do a very short period of silence, just for a few moments. And then I'm going to start making some suggestions of places, things for you to attend to. And I'd like you to, in turning your attention to those things, to see if you can pick up on whether there is this quality of pleasant or unpleasant happening, or neutral, in your experience. So that if you turn your attention to a sensation in your hand, for example, not to, you know, key into the heat or the coolness or the heaviness or the density of your hand, but to whether there's an experience of pleasantness or unpleasantness or neutral in that place in your body. So we'll just sit for a few moments just to allow your mind to settle down just a moment, and then I'll make some suggestions. Let your attention rest on the most obvious sensation in your experience. Whatever that is, let your mind rest with that sensation. Is that sensation pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? As you pay attention to that feeling, does it get stronger or weaker or stay the same? For the next few minutes, I'm going to suggest different parts of your body to turn your attention to. And each time I suggest a different part of your body, let your attention rest in that area, noticing what you feel there, and then see if you can notice whether there's a pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral quality to that feeling. The contact of your buttocks with your cushion or chair or bench. Your knees. Your shoulders. Your jaw. The area around your eyes, the backs of your hands. Now I'd like for you to allow your attention to kind of float through your body. And every now and then, allow your attention, say every 5 seconds or so, allow your attention to land on some new part of your body. And notice whether the experience where your attention has landed is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Now I'm going to ask you to bring up some things in your imagination. And again, simply see if you can notice whether the experience of bringing up this idea is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And see if you can simply rest with the idea suggested rather than thinking about it. Imagine yourself relaxing on the beach on a warm, sunny day. Imagine the sound of nails on a blackboard. Imagine yourself looking up into a cloudless blue sky. And now, for the last bit, I'd like you to let the corners of your mouth turn up a little bit in a half smile and notice what the feeling is of that experience. So I want to check in with you about this. What did you notice? I'm particularly interested in a couple of pieces. First, whether you could recognize the pleasant, unpleasant, neutral aspect of experience. And then also, I'm curious about when I suggested you let your attention kind of roam randomly through the body, what happened for you then? So is anybody willing to start here?
Particularly noticed the roaming part. And I noticed the prejudice to go towards noticing discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, okay, well, I know there's pleasant here. How come I'm not naturally going to pleasant? I was going to pain, itch, pain.
So you were noticing the unpleasant quality
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I'm curious, how many others of you, when I asked you to roam your attention through your body, had that experience that you noticed kind of pain being a kind of predominant experience? Okay, so several of you. Anybody have the experience of mostly noticing pleasant experience? So one, two. Anyone else? Three. How about neutral? Okay. Mostly neutral? How about a kind of an even mix of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral? A few of you with the even mix. So this is a very interesting phenomenon. Most people with this kind of, when suggested to just kind of allow the mind to float and land on experience, will have a preference for pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. It's a kind of a habituated way that we see our world. In effect, that it's like some of us have this this tendency towards gravitating towards the unpleasant because we've got this attitude or mentality of needing to fix and change and get rid of unpleasant. Others of us may have the mentality of gravitating towards pleasant because that's where we feel good. Others of us may kind of just gravitate towards neutral, not particularly having a preference for pleasant or unpleasant. So I'm curious, anything else about this exercise you noticed, or particularly, yeah, Robert? Let's use the mic, yeah.
So I may have noticed a diluted quality here, but when you said you started and said to bring your attention to some predominant experience or feeling, I was feeling a kind of energy. It was just like it was just really present. But then when you said to direct the quality, it had all of those things. It had pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral in it. And it was just there. And I really, you know, it's not like I make a decision about that. And when you asked me to do it, I found it was not so easy because it was, and I was also surprised when going through the body, I found that sometimes I found that I was a little bit tight in my jaw or the muscles, and I hadn't really noticed that, but bringing the attention to it really, it was clear that it was unpleasant. So what do you think about an experience being all three at once?
Well, there's a couple of different ways that might be experienced. One is that if you were paying attention to kind of a large field of attention, if you were paying attention to kind of energy through the body, kind of a large object in a sense, there may well be aspects of that experience, you know, some places in the body where it's resonating as pleasant, some places is unpleasant, some places it's neutral, so that it might be that, you know, in paying attention in that more global way, that you're taking in all of those experiences. Another way, and the more strict Buddhist psychology way of looking at it, is that in a split second, the mind will be only experiencing pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. But that split second that Buddhist psychology is talking about is so minute that, you know, with what they say, in the blink of an eye, there are 17 trillion mind moments or something like that. So in the blink of an eye, there might be, you know, 5 trillion pleasant, 5 trillion unpleasant, 5 trillion neutral experiences. And if you're, you know, it may feel like you're experiencing all three at once. So, you know, I don't think it's delusion. I think we can experience, it is as if we are experiencing all three at once.
That's a really good answer because when I, as I think about it now, it was like I was noticing all three, but one at a time.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah.
I had a similar experience where I wasn't feeling them all at the same time, but like I was really suggestible, so it was hard. I would feel, you know, the pressure of the chair in my butt, because I was noticing tonight, I was like, this chair feels really hard. And it didn't feel that way a few days ago. But then you said, you know, is it pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? And then, like, as you would say, like, it would shift.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's kind of pleasant. Oh, now it's neutral.
Okay.
So, like, yeah, wherever so, you go, like, I guess, like, nothing was particularly strong. So
yes.
It was easy to suggest it being something else.
Or maybe to pick up on the pleasant quality, yeah, where it was pleasant, the unpleasant quality where it was unpleasant. You know, the mind is very suggestible that way, you know. If I say, pay attention to your hands, boom, you know, there it goes. So, yeah, the mind is very suggestible, but... so that kind of just points to getting familiar with the different qualities.
Are you saying that there's a sensation and then it becomes pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Like is there like a something that's not even neutral, that just like the what is it, like the sensation?
The understanding is, yeah, that the when an experience arises. This is Buddhist psychology for you. So you have like, you know, just the body and the object, you know, the contact. There's that contact. That in that meeting arises simultaneously the knowing of it, the feeling of it, and the perceiving of it. So there's nothing before the feeling, but we can kind of see our experience through different lenses. So we might recognize, you know, hardness first and then become familiar with the unpleasantness or pleasant quality of it. But it's more just like looking through different lenses. It's not that the hardness has come first and then the unpleasantness or pleasantness has come. It all comes up together. But the pleasant, unpleasant, neutral quality is a little bit subtle. You know, we don't tend to immediately notice the pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral quality, but we do tend to immediately react to it. And we tend to immediately, you know, go, oh, this is unpleasant, and start moving, you know. So we don't actually notice that we've experienced unpleasant, we just have immediately started doing something about it. And so this is starting to kind of lower the horizon of what we can notice and kind of touch into this quality of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, which is the springboard from which we start reacting, so that it does take a little bit of exploring to actually begin to get familiar with what it feels like. You know, what is this quality of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral? What is this? And it's a very valuable exercise, simply because when the feeling is noticed, we have the opportunity, or the mind has the opportunity, to just notice, oh, this is pleasant, oh, this is unpleasant, and not react to it. So in that exercise, now I'm hoping that there wasn't anything too painful or pleasant. Yeah, go ahead. Do you have something?
Painful thing that just happened. As we started, I was neutral, and I began to experience, I have a cold, it's going away, I hope, dryness in my throat. It was very unpleasant. And it was such a strong physical thing going on. I got up and walked away here. There was no way of calming that other than by getting up, walking away, and coughing.
And coughing, yeah.
So I think there can be physical reactions sometimes that are very real.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I've noticed with the, you know, with something in the throat, for instance, I will observe the unpleasantness of it as long as I can, and then at some point the body's going to cough. I mean, it's like, you know, if there's something draining down the back of the throat and heading towards the lung, the body is going to do something about it.
It's doubly unpleasant being here doing that.
Yes, I understand. Now, the difference, though, I mean, that there's a difference between just it being a physical response and there being an aversion to that unpleasantness. So that's the place where we want to start, you know, seeing if we can get familiar with. I mean, actually, the process or the changing our habitual response to this feeling is first about getting to know the outermost layer, the reactivity of the greed or aversion or delusion, because that's mostly where we are living our lives. We're in that outer realm. You know, the outer space realms of greed, aversion, and delusion, and all of the anger and frustration and irritation and annoyance. We're out in that world. And so we need to learn how to meet those experiences. Although it can be an interesting exercise when we're experiencing either strong aversion or strong greed of some kind to notice, is there something pleasant or unpleasant going on in my experience that hasn't been recognized? So on one 3-month retreat, I was doing some walking meditation, and I was experiencing, I was just doing the walking meditation, and it was fine, I was just doing the walking. And then somebody came up and started walking right next to me in the walking room, and immediately there was this, ooh, incredible aversion. Just strong, strong aversion to this person. And I began kind of, you know, I recognized the aversion. I was paying attention to the aversion. But I had just recently heard a teacher say, you know, if you're experiencing aversion, there's something unpleasant happening in your experience. So I began exploring, where is the unpleasantness in my experience? And I went through all of my senses, seeing. Well, the person wasn't unpleasant to look at, so that wasn't it. Hearing. They weren't making any noise, so that wasn't it. I went through all the physical senses and didn't see unpleasantness in any of those. And it's like, okay, well, it must be something going on in the mind. There's got to be something happening in the mind. And at this point, I didn't really notice anything, so I just kept walking and kind of kept an eye out for something that might be unpleasant happening in the mind. And lo and behold, a few moments later, I saw the thought, he's weird. I thought, well, there's something going on. But I still didn't connect it to unpleasant. And then I saw this other thought that was, he's got bare feet on and it's freezing cold out. And that was my justification for the weirdness. And at that point, the whole thing kind of just began to fall apart. The whole structure of that aversion began to fall apart because I saw that what I was reacting to was a thought in my mind, that it was a thought that was experienced as unpleasant. And that was kind of mind-blowing to me, that you know, I wasn't really reacting to the person. I was reacting to an idea that they were weird because they had bare feet and it was cold outside. And that in retrospect, I could see that feeling of that person being weird probably engendered a little tiny bit of fear that was unpleasant. So it can be an interesting exploration when you are experiencing strong emotion like that to check in. What is pleasant or unpleasant about this experience? And it can help to reveal the structure of this reactivity. So another piece that I want to explore a little bit. Oh yeah, go ahead, Irv.
You used a, to me, very interesting word, and that was preference. When you say preference, do you mean that we actually chose to feel that way?
That's another topic that I have down that I can talk about. So I'll go that way instead of this other way I was going to go. Kind of because of the way we are conditioned, each one of us seems to have kind of a rough tendencies towards what are called these, you could kind of call them personality types. They're in Buddhist psychology called personality types, that there's roughly these three types that we tend towards being either aversive to things or wanting things or kind of not connected, deluded about things. And so there's this kind of, because of the way we've been conditioned, because of our upbringing, because of habits and patterns, we each kind of have a proclivity towards one of those three patterns in our minds. And so in a sense, that proclivity in place is making the choice for us. So I have a proclivity towards aversion. That's my pattern. That my orientation towards the world is find things that are bad and get rid of them. Scan the environment for what's in a danger and figure out how to fix it. So that's the way I orient to the world. And when I was asked to do this exercise to just let my attention wander through my body, every time it landed on something unpleasant. It was kind of like, oh, I see. It's not really random here. It's actually the mind is choosing this. And it's not so much that I'm choosing it. It's a habit. It's a habitual way of orienting to the world, this habitual way of wanting to get rid of things that we don't like. That's my habitual pattern. Somebody else may have an habitual pattern of seeking out things that they do like to bring those things close so that there's pleasant things in the environment. So that strategy is about trying to bring pleasantness into the world, into experience, as opposed to getting rid of unpleasant. My mind says, if I get rid of everything unpleasant, then I'll be fine. Somebody else says, I need to bring everything pleasant in, then I'll be fine. The kind of deluded type is someone who doesn't necessarily tend to connect to experience. Their experience is kind of more about wondering how they fit in or what's going on. It's a sense of not really necessarily connecting or knowing what's happening in their experience. So in a sense, it's a preference, but it's not a conscious preference. It's a preference that is created through a habitual pattern, a habitual kind of conditioned response that we each have.
But we can make a choice to change that preference.
Yes, yes.
Now, where does that come from then?
Where does that choice come from?
Yeah, we've always been habituated to something, and so we make a decision we don't want to feel that way or be that way, and so we make a choice. So the question is, to me, it's personally a very difficult one, but I can be successful in it, is why didn't we make the choice before, and why is it we can make a choice now? Most of the time we'll fail, though.
Well, why we made the choice before is because this is the way we've been conditioned. So that, you know, it's just like that's the way that we've been raised, the environments that we've been in, the people we've interacted with, that has been why we've chosen that one to begin with. Why we can make a new choice? Because wisdom has entered the picture. We've heard the possibility that there's another way, and that bit of new, it's like a new conditioning entering the mind. It's new information entering the mind, and because of that, the mind may recognize it has a choice. So it is kind of magic. It's very mysterious how it happens. It's extremely mysterious. But don't doubt that it is possible, because it's possible. So, Victor, you had something, and then this is the last one.
I was curious, when you were first asked to do this exercise and you placed your mind to things and you found them unpleasant, was it the physicality that caused it, like a bare sensate unpleasantness, or was it a compounded through sort of layered?
I think it was more bare. I mean, I was just, you know, letting the mind roam through the physicality of the body. And it was just land. It's just like, okay, where does it want to land? And it would land on this little, you know, unpleasant tightness in the knee. And then it would land on this, like, you know, tightness over there or pressure there. And it's just every one of them was unpleasant. But it wasn't a kind of compounded thing. It wasn't so much about the reactivity.
Right.
It was just, you know, that.
So, but that was a an ingrained choice to see what was specifically the most prominent thing. And your interpretation of prominent was unpleasant.
Right. Right. Essentially, that the way my mind was orienting was towards things that were unpleasant.
And so it couldn't just have been, it just wasn't unpleasant.
Well, it was clear to me that the body wasn't in a state of massive pain, that there was plenty of, actually when I tried to notice other things, there were pleasant experiences out there. It's just that the mind wasn't hitting
those. Pleasant experiences on balance the same as the unpleasant? Weight?
Yeah. And it's the mind that was producing that weight.
I've noticed, though, the things that my mind goes to, I've waited, okay, well, where's pleasant? Oh, there's pleasant. Is that as pleasant as that is painful?
Uh-huh.
No, it's not.
It's not. That's actually more painful.
Uh-huh. So that's where my mind works.
And it's also possible that your mind emphasizes pain more than it emphasizes pleasure.
Well, what happens with my particular case is I'll go to fantasy if it gets too unpleasant. My mind will just go off.
So it'll create pleasant.
Pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah. So we need to stop. There's so much more to talk about in this area, but just explore it. Explore it, because as you start to explore this area of pleasant, unpleasant, you begin to really understand the structure from the inside of how we react, of how our reactivity is even created. And it's very powerful to come to an exploration and an understanding of this aspect of our experience. So may you know your pleasantness, unpleasantness, and neutrality.